choir will be able to sing this morning. Something happened to the musician. He's sick. He's kind of laid up. And so we'll just go on with the service. The devil is a liar. Amen. Amen. Now, nobody loves music any more than I do. But God deliver me from being so attached to music that I can't sing a Zion song and give God some praise just because I ain't got no organ player. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Brown, don't you ever get to the place where you can't hit a note just because you ain't got somebody to sit you in a key. Hallelujah. Amen. God gave me a key. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I got a cracked voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I might sing in all of them at one time, but that's all right. I'm going to give God some praise. Can I get a witness in this house? Amen. Praise the Lord. I love to look back. Let me close this thing up because there's a lot in that message. Amen. But Brother Paul looked back. Y'all need to read your word. I said, Brother Paul looked back when he stood before King Agrippa. Amen. When you get home, open your Bible and look at Acts 26, chapter 26. Amen. When he stood before the King Agrippa. Hallelujah. And he thought about where God had brought him from. And he said, oh, King Agrippa, I want you to know, amen, that I'm a Jew. Amen. And not only am I a Jew, I'm a Pharisee, which means, amen, that I worship God in spirit and in truth. It means, amen, that I do everything that is required of me according to the law.
This has been Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ with Pastor Maurice Johnson. Johnson Temple is located at 200 Nona Street, Leesville. Service times are Sunday schools, 9:50 a.m., Sunday morning worship service, 11:15 a.m., Sunday evening worship, 7:45 p.m., Tuesday Bible study, 7:30 p.m., Friday night worship service, 7:30 p.m., prayer Monday through Friday, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. Thank you for listening to Johnson Temple, Church of God in Christ.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Let me hear the worshipers.
You're listening to the radio broadcast of the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, 720 Millrais Road, Boise, Louisiana. Pastor Joseph W. Franklin. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Worship and the Word at 11 a.m. And on third Sunday, the Lord's Supper is observed. Wednesday night, prayer meeting Bible study at 6 p.m. And at 7 p.m., choir rehearsal. You can visit us on the web at www.mounttriumphmbc.com. God bless you.
Sermon on the pardon of prayer. We're going to talk about the pardoning of others. Amen. Luke chapter 11 verse 4 says, and forgive us our sins. And this is the second part of that. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Amen. Believers, we talked about on last Sunday the judicial forgiveness that God grants and has granted to every one of us as a believer when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But there is a second part to this sermon that deals with not only our receiving our judicial forgiveness But that relational forgiveness that we receive every time we confess our sins to the Lord. That we understand that confession is good for the soul. That God has made a way for us to maintain our fellowship with Him through our relation, and that is through the forgiveness of our sin. But there is the second part of this today has to do with how we forgive one another. That God holds us responsible for not only asking Him to forgive us of our sins on a relational, vertical relation, but then there is a horizontal relation that we have with one another. I wish I had a witness. And I believe there's a big holdup that we have so often that we want to receive and we desire the forgiveness from the Father, but then it's hard for us to forgive one another. And even to say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget, is still another way of saying that I ain't gonna forgive you. But God has called us to forgive one another. It is to release or to let go the hurt, the harm, the violation, or whatever somebody has done to you, you got to let it go. All right. Tell your neighbor, let it go. If you want to get free, because can I tell you that when you don't forgive, you put your own self in prison. You imprison yourself to unforgiveness. And then you not only imprison yourself to unforgiveness, but you also hinder God from forgiving you. Which I have a witness in the house. You hinder and it becomes a roadblock for God. Because He says that it is imperative He forgives us, but also that we forgive those indebted to us. Last week we talked about the request of the pardon, and that's based on our confession of sin. We talked about the recipients of the pardon, and that we are the recipients that God has forgiven us. He's cleansed the slate of our sins when He allowed His Son to die at Calvary. And then the reality of it is that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is sin? I'm glad you asked. It's missing the mark. We missed the missing the mark of God's glory. What is sin? Is stepping over the boundaries that God has set. What is sin? Sin is owing a debt that we could not pay, that God sent His Son into the world to pay our debt. Here we see, first of all, that it is a prerequisite of pardon, of the pardon that we receive, that our daily forgiveness is based on our forgiveness and pardoning of others. Well, Jesus said it in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In those are hindrance and roadblocks, even to our blessing. He's trying to bless you, but you have some unforgiveness. wish I had a witness. You're blocking your own blessing. John MacArthur says this, that in an unforgiving spirit, the failure to do so will bring at least four unpleasant results. First, he says, the failure to forgive will imprison the believer in their past. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and then discover the prisoner was you. He says, unforgiveness keeps the pain alive, and unforgiveness keeps the sore open. It never allows the wound to heal. I wish I had a witness here. Dwelling on the wrong does done feeds anger and resentment and robs one of the joy of living. Forgiveness, on the other hand, opens the prison door and sets the believer free from the bad. Second, unforgiveness produces bitterness. Help me, somebody. The longer believers dwell on an offense committed against them, the more bitter they become. Bitterness is not just a sin, but it's an infection. Hebrews writer tells us in Hebrews 12, he says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble by it and be defiled. A bitter person, listen, a bitter person, speech is cutting. A bitter person is sarcastic with everybody. A bitter person slanders. A bitter person distorts. A person's bitterness distorts a person's whole outlook on life, producing violent emotions and intolerance and some thoughts of revenge. You see, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. But unforgiveness said, I'm going to get them back. I wish I had a witness. Too many people are like time bombs, even in the worship experience. And the bomb is going tick, tick, tick. And sometimes it's just take one thing to set them off. Thirdly, unforgiveness gives Satan an open door. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun, help me somebody, go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Too often we go to sleep with it at night. Too often we go to sleep with it at night and we get back up with it in the morning and we put distance between ourselves and saying, forgive me. Sometimes it's hard to say I was wrong. I wish I had a witness. Some relationships are still broken and battered and bruised because you can't get it up enough to say, forgive me. I'm sorry. To say, I beg your pardon. I wish I had a believer in the house. And so what it does, it disrupts our relationship with one another. Why is there so much killing going on in our communities? Why is there so much unrest in our families? To where family members haven't spoken to each other over years. I wish I had somebody here. It's hard to speak to somebody that you're holding something again. But like I said earlier, you got to let it go. Because sometimes when you got something against somebody else and they don't know it, it's not them that's having a tough time. They don't have the problem. and it didn't do you too well. Somebody touched you the wrong way, and it didn't do you well. Somebody said something to you that ticked you off, and you haven't let it go yet. You got to learn how to forgive. I need to remind us that when Jesus was talking here in this prayer, he's talking to his disciples. And so the message is, for the believer here, this is how we ought to operate. We ought to learn how to forgive. Secondly, fourth, he says, unforgiveness hinders the fellowship with God. Remember I told you last week about you wondering why it seems like your life is so dry and you're about to dry up. You remember what I told you about David? David had sin that he had not confessed. And the longer he lingered from confessing it and acknowledging it, the more his own health began to wither away. Can I tell you, unforgiveness can cause you some health issues. I wish I had a witness here. Because if you don't forgive, you got to get up with it every morning. You got to go to sleep with it. And every time you meet somebody that you have not forgiven, you find yourself ducking and going the other way because you haven't been reconciled. Well, we just read it a few minutes ago in our covenant that we ought to be reconciled one with another. Notice not only that do we see the prerequisite for forgiving and being pardoned, but then we see the people. He says, now notice what he says in the text here, for we also forgive everyone. We also forgive some folk. It didn't say that, did it? We got some people we will pardon, but some people we can't pardon. I wish I had a believer. But if you want the pardon and the forgiveness of God, look at the text and say everyone, or it said all. Black, white, red, yellow, indifferent. Help me somebody. Mama, father, whoever has wronged you, you got to learn how to forgive. Husbands have to forgive their wives. And wives, you must forgive your husband. Children, you must forgive your parents. And parents in the Lord, you must forgive your children. We're talking about relationships. Friends have to learn how to forgive one another. Co-workers, you're working side by side, and yet you don't have forgiveness with each other. Y'all done got quiet in here. But you don't know how much they hurt me. I may not know how much they offend you, but God does. You don't know how much they offended me. Let it go. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then what he says, be kind to one another. Yes. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Yes. Even as God in Christ forgave you. Yes. If you have received the forgiveness of God for your sins, yes, then vertically, then horizontally, you need to pass it on, yes, to others. We are more like our Heavenly Father when we forgive one another. You see, Mount Triumph, it takes a humbled person who understands how much they've been forgiven to forgive another. We are reminded of the prodigal father and the prodigal son, whose son had embarrassed the father. because he had been disrespectful to his father, and they would stone him to death. The Bible says that he saw his son, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And not only that, but he put shoes on his feet. He put a ring to restore him on his hand. He put clothing on his back. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that is forgiveness. And that's what God has done for us. Finally, I say to you, not only the people, but then the prescription. Because the debt that we owe one another, that's what that word indebted means. It means that there is a debt. That sin is a due bill. Has anybody in here ever had a debt release? What do you mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You know, when you paid that last payment, somebody here know what I'm talking about. You paid that last note. It's been all like a dark cloud over your head.
Somebody